You know, I want to confess to you today, I'm never quite sure what's going to come out of my mouth when I preach. And it's funny because after I've done the 8:30 and I come to the 10:30, I'm like, after I read the gospel, I say, I wonder if it'll be the same thing as I did the last time. You know, I have to ask you a question. Who in your life, who do you know, or who have you experienced that you would say they're truly gentle? Who's truly gentle in your life? Who is it that sort of, I'm not talking about kind, I'm talking about gentle. Who's just gentle in the way they deal with the other people that cross their path, family, friends? Are you gentle? Are you gentle? You know, as I started pondering it, it's funny because the person who I came up with that I thought was the most gentle person in my life, he is a person that is, he's got a full beard. He's a big man. I mean, he's strong. He's big. He's about 6'5". He loves kids. He's actually a guy by the name of Kalen. Anna, you know Kalen. Kalen is works. I mean, he's the guy that his yard crew does the actual yards around here. He cuts trees. He's the most fair, honest, gentle person I think I've ever really met. I mean, he doesn't have to be. I mean, this guy's huge. I mean, he's the strongest guy I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, I've seen him pick up a whole tree stump and carry it and throw it into the truck. I've never seen. And so, you know, with all that power, to see that he is so gentle in the way he deals with other people, it's overwhelming. You know, the scripture tells us that our gentleness should be made known. So what is gentle? You know, as I looked up the word gentle to find out where it comes from, the derivation of it, I found that gentle actually means, from the Latin, it means good blood or well-born. In other words, you come from an upper level. So then I went back and I looked at the Greek, because that's what the New Testament is. And the Greek says that the word really is more forbearance than it is gentle. And then I said, well, what's forbearance mean? And the best explanation I came across of that I think wraps it all up is your sweet reasonableness. Your sweet reasonableness. Now, I don't know about you. I don't experience a whole lot of sweet reasonableness when I'm walking around too much. I mean, you know, think about it. In your everyday life, you know, how sweet and reasonable are you to yourself and to other people? I mean, how hard are you on yourself? How much do you laugh at yourself? How much do you actually not take yourself so seriously because somehow, oh my God, you know, how's this going to reflect on me? But you just let it roll. You know, I don't think we as humankind at this point in life is real good at sweet reasonableness. I mean, I just don't see it. So I started to take a look at this reading from Paul because it's an interesting reading. It's from Philippians chapter 4. And Paul writes, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness or your forbearance be made known. The Lord is near. Now rejoice. Rejoice because you know what? You can be rejoiced. The Lord's near. The Lord's near. And if the Lord's near, that means you can be gentle. The question is, do we really believe that? I mean, let me, you know, do we really believe that? Do we believe that the Lord is really near? Because if the Lord's really near, then the way we behave, not to please him or, you know, make him proud or whatever you want to call it, okay? If the Lord's really near, why is it so hard to be sweet and reasonable? Why is it that when we engage with somebody else that is, let's just say, difficult? Why is it that we so often run into what I call, when I'm trying to put it in terms that are easier to deal with, rigorous fellowship? You know, I mean, I'll be upfront with you. You know, I mean, how many of us in our relationships, our marriages and stuff, have times when we have rigorous fellowship, you know, And why is it so hard to do that sweet reasonableness that has been given to us? Because you see, I believe that that forbearance is a gift that is given to each and every one of us. But a lot of us don't tap into it. A lot of us think, no, wait a second, I'll be weak. We confuse it and we say, well, I'll be kind, but I'm not going to be gentle. And there's a difference between kind and gentle. I would say of myself, many times I can be really kind, but gentle, you know, I mean, I'm one of those kind of guys that gentle doesn't really come in. Sweet reasonableness, you know, if somebody doesn't, I had a conversation with the guy the other day, and I'll never forget the end of the conversation because he really ticked me off, and I ended the conversation at the end of it and just say, well, that's fine, but I'm done, and between you and me, don't come around me when I have a baseball bat in my hand. Now, is that priestly? Is that gentle? Is that sweet reasonableness? Now, he knew I was kidding, but even joking, there was nothing reasonable or sweet in there. Sweet reasonableness. You know, it's interesting because the next thing it says after it says, you know, let your gentleness be known, the Lord is near, what does it say? You can look at it. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication with gratitude or with thanksgiving, make your needs known to God. Make your needs known to God. And see, I think my sweet gentleness, sometimes goes out the door, not because I don't think God is really there, it's because I don't think God can handle it. And that's why I enter into worry. Worry to me is where I pray against myself, and I think, God, this one's too big for you to handle. I better handle it myself. It's where I need my sense of control. It was shown to me very clearly this past week. This past week, actually, Sally left last Sunday to fly up to, we have a timeshare that we've had since we got married 23 years, up in Sky Valley, Georgia. It's up in the mountains just beyond Atlanta. And actually, Ian and it was supposed to go up there for the week that we had this year. And then 2 weeks before, he said, I can't do it. I've got conflict and schedule. And Sally came to me and looked at me, and this is where Rigorous Fellowship comes in. She goes, Ian can't go. We're going. And I'm like, I can't go. I have two funerals. I have, you know, I've got this other event. I can't go. It's 2 weeks away. And I'm going. And if you know my wife, don't get in her way. Well, anyway, so she looks at me, she's going. So I looked at her, I said, look, at least do me this favor. Don't try and drive one of our vehicles up there, fly into Atlanta, rent a car, and then drive from there, because it's a little over 2 hours. She could easily handle that. Get up there, and, you know, you can go hiking and whole 9 hours. Now, do you remember what the weather was last Sunday in Atlanta? You know, so, you know, I mean, there, okay, my sense of anxiety starts going up a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, let's call them. You know, in this. So she flies up. I get tech, you know, I'm like, you know, I drop her off at the airport. But she drops herself off at the airport. Actually, Don had to go with me to go pick up her car. But I get that she's arrived in Atlanta. Then all of a sudden I get from her, well, you know what? The rental car that I thought I had, which she was smart. She said, I'm going to get a four-wheel drive vehicle, like a 4Runner or something like that. I got a really good deal. It's always that good deal that scares me, you know. And then she calls me and she goes, I can't believe it. They gave the 4Runner I was supposed to have. They gave it away. And I got to have four-wheel drive because at that point, there's about 2 foot of snow in the area that she's going, okay? So she goes to every car dealership in all of Atlanta Airport, she says, and she goes from place to place. Finally, she comes back to the original place that she went to because they're the only ones. They have an all-wheel drive Mercedes SUV. Do you know what that means to a good deal? So, you know, I mean, think of what's going on in here, you know, I mean, you know, the whole nine yards. So I say, take it, I don't care what it costs, I don't care, in an all-wheel drive SUV Mercedes, you can make it to the Arctic and back and I won't worry. So she takes off, she drives up there, you know, I'm talking to her back and forth as she goes along. She finally arrives and she gets through Dillard, if you know the terrain, you go through Clayton, and you get to Dillard, and then you go up the mountain. She gets to Dillard, and she goes, you know, the roads were pretty good all the way up to here, but, you know, going up the mountain to get to Sky Valley, there's only one lane to get up there. So she gets up to the top, she gets in, everything falls in place, she gets in, and I'm like, great, I can go to sleep. This is great. Well, she wants to go hiking. Yeah. So the next day she's going to go to Whiteside, which is in the Highlands District. And I know this is a long story. Just bear with me. I got a lot to get out of here. Okay? And so she goes to the Highlands, and all of a sudden I get this text. She goes, well, I have Whiteside, but there's a problem. I drove the car down because there was one lane that could go, and now I'm where I've gotten out of the car and walked up to Whiteside where the parking lot is, but I can't go through anymore because there's 2 foot of snow on both sides, and I'm sort of stuck on this road, and I don't know how to, I'm 2 miles down the road. Now, a control freak like me, what do you think I'm thinking? Finally, she says, oh, this nice man, I met him. I'm like, okay, in the middle of nowhere? You know, he wandered from the forest out, you know? And she goes, I think I'm going to pay him and have him back the car out 2 miles. And I'm like, okay. So then she gets back and she gets to, you know, back to the condo after she's had some other hiking. Then the next day she wants to go to War Woman Dell, you know, which that's fine. Then she shoots me a picture, and it's a picture of the sole of her boot that has come off in the snow, and she's going, what? So my response, go buy new boots. Oh, no, I'm going to glue these together. Hallelujah. The long and the short of it is, the point I'm trying to make here is this. For her, it was an adventure. For me, it was one huge sense of drama. So how do you approach it when you're that? Gentleness is never passive. Gentleness, forbearance is always active. And how do you engage in a bunch of drama when it's going crazy, where everything's out of your control, which I don't like being out of control. I'm just telling you, okay? Because that's when worry starts coming in, anxiety comes in, because I got to get control over this. So what do? I have to confess, I do what's reasonable. I called her up, I said, take a picture of your license tag and tell me anywhere you go. That way, at least when you don't call me tonight for being back at the condo, I can at least call the state police and give them something. But the point I'm trying to get across at is this. If you have sweet reasonableness and you know the Lord is near, then somehow, in the midst of, as difficult it might sound, somehow that gives you the freedom to be open to not worry. That when all of a sudden you realize that God is present in your life, even though things are totally out of your control and you may be 700 or 800 miles away from the situation that you feel like you have to be in control of, somehow you can let go of it. Because somehow in the midst of it, you can say, wait a second, I can be sweet and reasonable to myself. I've done all that I can do. I got the little photo of her license tag and I know where she is. That's the best I can do. And somehow in the midst of that, a peace that passes all understanding does come in. I don't know about you, but for me, this time of the year, I want to have control over everything. I want to have the gifts that I've ordered in hand, and I don't really give a rip what FedEx says. I want things to come to me in where I need them to be, and I want to know that they're all wrapped and set, and everything's going to come down, and that so I can live happily ever after. But that's not the way life necessarily works, is it? Life is difficult. Life is filled with drama, but you don't have to engage in the drama if you have forbearance. Because then you do know that the Lord is near and you can be gentle with yourself. And you realize for maybe the first time, although that you sung it probably a million times, God's got the whole world really in his hands. And it may not turn out exactly the way you predicted, but somehow you got to let go so you can let God. And most of us don't have the ability to do that. Not at least the majority of the time. Most of us don't go on, as they said in George H. Bush's funeral, you know, the high road of humility is not too heavily traveled in Washington. Well, the high road of gentleness is not usually ridden anywhere. Think of the way you engage with people. Think when you don't get what you want from a postal worker. Think of the way you engage when you go to the shopping store and, you know, to get food or clothes or anything, and there's a bunch of people in front of you that are saying they're idiots. Think of the way you do it. Why can't you meet them with that sweet reasonableness? Sweet reasonableness. Why can't we go in there? Because if you really know God is true, if you really know God saves, if you really know that God is the creator and sustainer of all things and about all things, then why is it that it's so hard to trust him unless we don't really believe that. I guess the question that is left is God near or not? If God's near, then you know what? Maybe we could do a little bit better about worry. If God is near, maybe we could be a little gentler and kinder, starting with ourselves. Why is it that we take things so personal when really they are light years away from us? Why is it that if somebody does something to us on the road, or somebody does something to us in a store, or somebody does something to where, by God, they aren't coming to dinner dressed the way we want them to be dressed, that we think that's the end of the world? I guess what I'm trying to say is this Christmas, why don't you give yourself the gift and give others in your family the gift of sweet reasonableness? Give it to them. Practice it. It is active, but you've got to set yourself into it. It doesn't just automatically shift in. Because if you do that, then all of a sudden the worry dissipates. The uncomfortableness goes away. And you know what? You don't second guess yourself after you had an episode that was rigorous fellowship, because you know that the rigorous fellowship on your part, you did the best you could with it. How many of you have discussions with somebody else and it's not fun, and you walk away and you hold on to it longer than the actual event even handled? And how many of you rethink and think again and go through your brain and say, how can I make this so I don't look as bad as I really was? You see, the God that we have is a God that's near, a God that's there, a God that wants us to be in relationship with each other. To be rigorous, yes, but not in the sense that I meant before, in a sense that's more filled with love and kindness and joy and peace. Because as Paul writes, don't worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, which is humility, with gratitude, make your needs to know. Just known. And then what does it say? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You want your heart guarded? Get out of your own way. If you want your heart guarded, don't you think you can guard it? If you want your heart guarded, trust. Be gentle. Have forbearance. Have sweet reasonableness in the way that you deal with yourself and with all the people that cross your path. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.